asylum. For a terrifying tale of fear, lust, and insanity.
It's the Tuesday Night Blitz live on BTRFF.com and AsylumFantasyFootball.com.
Welcome to the Tuesday Blitz and welcome to the Asylum. We are AsylumFantasyFootball.com. Drop us a line, AsylumFootball@gmail.com.
At Asylum Football on Twitter, that's where it's at. The drive to 1,000 continues slowly. More of a walk to 1,000 right now.
A little stroll. But we are also heard on Tuesdays, or the Tuesday Blitz is heard on Thursdays at noon on WSRU 88.1 FM, the voice of the rock.
Absolutely. Check us out there. Anybody there in Slippery Rock, let us know you're hearing the show. Let us know what you think. So, Rick, let's jump up right into it. I can't believe 6 weeks are in the tubes. A lot of big news. I think we're going to dub this hour the Rick Briggs self-congratulations hour. We'll get to that a little bit later.
I'm much too professional for that.
That's just not true. That's a lie. I believe I've stated earlier. So, same format as the last Tuesday show. We'll get you some headlines. We'll do our full disclosure. Even after the good week Rick had, some things still made him mad, so we're going to give him a chance to rant. Maybe one or two of your questions, and then we'll finish it up with the game balls and stinky socks. So we'll jump right into it here with some headlines. First, and I think most importantly, fantasy-wise, DeMarco Murray strains a foot, already declared out this week versus the Panthers. The fortunate thing, not one of those dreaded Liz Frank, whatever that thing means, it just ruins guys, but they're preparing to be without him for a couple of weeks, definitely out this week. And it was a shame to see after starting the first half with 90 yards.
Yeah, it was. He had 92 yards, and in fact, Felix Jones followed up, and he had 92 yards as well in a losing effort. But they both looked pretty good, and it's just a shame to see it go down like that. I think he has some ligament damage, but I don't know what the extent of it is.
Yeah, nothing torn, nothing long term. The other good news, it was on the opposite foot of his bad ankle, but you have to worry about that. Foot injuries with these guys, you always worry about that. Moving on, Trent Richardson off to a fairly decent start in his game, took a rib injury. Right now the Browns are cautiously optimistic he'll play in week 7. I don't know what that means, and I always worry about these power backs when they have rib injuries.
Yeah, any kind of power back, he's just going to keep taking a pounding like that. And ribs are no laughing matter. Ask Kevin Cobb, who was out for 7 weeks with cartilage damage minimum. That's a tough word to say.
Not at, really. You're at just minimum. Not very good at speaking, I think, is more the issue.
Well, at least I can read PA Jet fans. So.
You're never going to let that go,
well,
are
no.
you?
But I guess they may even be separated.
That
just hurts.
God, I can't even picture that, just ripping the meat right off the bone. That's awful.
No wonder he can't throw.
Yeah, we'll blame that. I think last thing, everybody else is nicked up, we know, but people were starting to get a little excited over Jahvid Best going into last week, and the news came out end of last week, first part of this week. I don't remember what it was, that he's actually will not be cleared for this season. He will not be back the rest of the season. So looks like Mikel LeShore, when healthy, is going to be your guy in Detroit.
Yeah, and I'm afraid we probably have seen the last of Mr. Best from my observation. And that brings up a little bit of a question. You know, whatever happened to Kevin Smith?
I don't know.
Just like he's not getting any playing time, apparently, and yeah, he actually wasn't doing all that bad when he did play.
And that's what gets me. While, you know, LeShore got the job when he came back healthy, but to get 100% of it and Kevin Smith not to touch the ball at all, had a decent week one, the first week he played, little down in week two, but this guy always had the injury bug, but when healthy seemed to produce, and LeShore came in, and not only did his playing time drop, it just completely went away. You wouldn't even know he was still on the squad.
Yeah, that's true. But I wouldn't be in a big hurry to dump him. You never know, an injury bug might come up, and then he's the next 100-yard rusher.
So. Yeah, and LeSure really, really enjoys getting arrested, so that could happen, and it might be happening as we speak. So, yeah, if you have the roster space, I think Kevin Smith is a guy to stash. He just may come in handy later on in the year.
That's true. And there's an interesting little stat that I saw from looking over the weekend stats here. 7 out of 10 of the top passing performances this week were on losing efforts. 7 out of 10 of the top rushing performances were on winning records.
I don't think that's a coincidence whatsoever.
Not at all. That's just something to think about.
You're playing from behind. You're flinging it around. If you can run the ball, control the clock, control the game, I don't think there's any question. 7 of 10 on the passing side surprised. The running doesn't surprise me at all. I'm surprised it's not 9 out of 10. The 7 out of 10, that surprises me a little bit. That, you know, I guess just the way it matches up, that just tells you, even though the league has changed, you still got to be able to run the ball to win.
That's true. And I guess, you know, technically it's probably only 8 of 10 because 2 of the best performances were both Cowboys and they both lost.
Yeah.
So it's basically the one game.
Yeah, so skewed it a little bit.
And anyway, that was just a little fact there.
All right. Well, let's jump in, Rick. Right to full disclosure, this is the time where we congratulate ourselves. This is the time where we'll call ourselves out a little bit and let you know if you should be paying any attention to anything we have to say.
Yeah, now, for everyone listening, the sound quality is going to be a little bit bad here. I had on a little recorder here, but I just wanted to...
I have something queued up for you. That's not going to be good. Let me play this first.
Okay.
All right, let me play this
Go
first.
Ahead.
If you didn't listen on Friday, and if you didn't, shame on you. If you did, you have been stroking my friend on Twitter for 3 days here. But Rick made a prediction in his starts this week, one that I may have slightly disagreed with, and I'll just go ahead and play it for you.
This is going out on the proverbial limb.
Okay.
All right. After week one. Okay, now this guy has been forgotten fantasy-wise, I'm telling you. But after week one, his last four games have been at Pittsburgh, at Miami, versus San Francisco, and Houston.
Okay, very tough lineup.
I'm going Sean Green this week.
Oh, my God. Really, you're starting Sean Green this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think he will be very serviceable.
All right, we're going to cut it off there. I can't take any more of that. So, Rick, I'm going to sit back. I'm going to shut up. Enjoy your moment, and let's move past it.
I know you just slightly disagreed. Just a little, that was a little harsh at what you played, and I apologize. The sound quality is not that good, but there's a couple other things that he did say. He vehemently disagrees.
Okay. I don't think anybody could hear that, but go ahead.
Oh, really? Well, then maybe this is just not going to work.
Back to that. You just wanted to say that again. Sean Green is going to stink again this week. I want it on the record. Got it on the record. You already got it on the record. For, you know, you asked for a start. I gave you one. But if you don't like it, so you want to try to get some mileage out. I'm trying to save you here. I'm giving you one more out. Here's your one last chance.
All right, are you done? You know, they suffered through that terrible audio.
It was
quality.
Terrible audio.
I don't know if they could
I
even
certainly
hear
apologize
it.
For that. But
I think, as you can tell, I refused to load that part up for Rick into the machine. He had to use his
161 yards, 3 touchdowns. I love it.
It's your moment. Go ahead. I got nothing.
I mean, you know, give the guy credit when he's got the kahunas to go out and make the prediction and stand by it.
Yeah, I'll give you that. It was bold. I'm going to argue that I don't think you had him as a number one by any means, but
well, I'm not.
I'd have never dreamt of starting him, and you were right. I'll say it. You were dead on. You nailed it. I don't think you saw that coming. So any more gloating, or can we go to the takeaway from all of this?
No, actually, I would like to give kudos to my esteemed partner here as well. And we don't even have the audio of that. But on the last show, you predicted Darren McFadden would go 70 yards and a touchdown.
Sounds like something I'd say.
Darren McFadden got 70 yards and a touchdown.
I just owed you one of those from Friday. I don't know what it has to do with anything, but
I don't know, but Sean Green.
Oh Lord! All right, is it over yet? I mean, can we move on? All right, so let's talk about the takeaway from this. Obviously, that's not who Sean Green is. Do we take away from this that his struggles early in the year? I won't even factor in the 2 years prior to that. The struggles early on in the year had to do more with that lineup. Is Sean Green a legitimate, let's say, number two fantasy running back for you right now?
Not really, no.
Can the audience?
I just, you know, there's we make starts and sits for a week, and this Friday we'll do it again, and I will be almost 100% certain that Sean Green will not be one of the starts.
No, well, that's good. So, but I think really, I think I am so down about you having any type of success like that. I'm just absolutely disgusted that I it probably comes through. You know, I just sound down and out. It's kind of a bad fantasy week in general. So, you know, Sean Green long term, he's still Sean Green to you then. You had the crystal ball out and were able to nail the 1 week he was going to be a legitimate NFL running back.
Yeah, he's still Sean Green. They're still the New York Jets. And you still have Mark Sanchez as quarterback. You have basically no one as wide receiver. No, you're not going to do that every week. There's no chance.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think everybody knows that. So let's move past that, Rick, a couple others. So you were all over that one. Clearly, not only was I all over Darren McFadden, I put the number on it, which is a little scary. I wish I could do the lottery that way. So anything else we hit on, we were pretty close on? Anything we really, really botched? You know, I think we should admit those, too, if we're going to call it full disclosure.
Yeah, actually, since we're bashing, you know, going full disclosure, you know, I recommended Andre Roberts to start at wide receiver. Did absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
That whole Cardinal offense is abysmal. And, you know, I mean, what else can you say? They just did nothing. They should have won the game, too, which is a real shame.
Yeah.
So you wanted to start Romo, had a good day. I wanted to start Ponder, even had a better day. Sanchez was my sit. Yeah, he had two touchdowns, but he had 82 yards passing. So, I mean, it was horrible.
Yeah, it didn't really work out in fantasy terms. It managed
exactly.
to get the job done.
You wanted to sit Fitzpatrick right on spot there. You wanted to start Green Ellis. Not really a very good start.
Yeah, we're going to talk about him a little later in our game balls and stinky socks segment.
One of your sits was a bad one, too. You wanted to sit a Maude Bradshaw.
Yeah, I might
Buck 18 and a touchdown.
Yeah, I might have swung and missed on that one. However, if you saw that coming from a Maude Bradshaw, you're a bigger seer than our friend Mr. Briggs is on Sean Green, because nobody does that to San Francisco. That team was completely out of sorts on Sunday. I don't know what happened there.
I tell you what, I don't know if it's so much, you know, they probably had a bad game. I think New York is just a good team.
Yeah,
they really are. And when there's big games on the line, they're tough to beat.
Yeah, I mean, Eli Manning's getting that reputation, sort of the opposite of his brother early on, where he did more in the playoffs. Here's what I worry about with New York, if we want to talk football and less about fantasy for a minute. What the Giants do, and they've done it both years they won the Super Bowl, they'll be bad, they'll get hot at the right time and run all the way through. They've been up and down a little bit. For the most part, they've been hot. I worry a little bit about, does a team come apart later on in the year? It just seems like, I don't know, maybe it's Tom Coughlin. At some point, they have to struggle, and if they're having success early, I'm afraid the struggle is going to come at the bad part of the season. That's a team in general that makes me nervous. You never really know what you're going to get out of them.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I don't know. I don't look for them to fall apart, but it's hard to say. I don't look for them to repeat either. But, you know, I just think they're a pretty doggone good team, and they're going to be somebody that whoever's going to win is going to have to get through.
Yeah, no question about it. I think the one thing with the Giants I do want to bring up, you know, outside of Bradshaw, and Eli is what Eli is, that's what you're going to get out of him. Victor Cruz, we talked a lot about him in the offseason, and could he repeat those numbers and repeat what he did? And really, it's funny. Fantasy value-wise, he has about the same value, but it seems like catches are kind of down. He doesn't have those 180-yard games he was putting up, but just become an absolute touchdown machine. They just find it. Was it not this past week, the week before, had under 60 or 70 yards catching, but had managed three touchdowns. Might have had under 50 yards receiving. Just a huge red zone threat and something fantasy value wise, it's huge. But the numbers do seem to be down from last year. Otherwise,
yeah. Let's see. You know, Victor Cruz 496 yards right now through six games, 43 catches, and he's still that deep ball threat. He's had an 80-yard bomb. He's not going to get the.
We're catching a lot of 5 to 10 yard touchdowns, which you wouldn't think would be his game, and had three of them 2 weeks ago.
That's a good point. And maybe it has something to do with the health of Nick's.
Could be.
And there's more chemistry between him and Manning than, say, maybe, Hickson. But, I don't know. I mean, I just think they're a well-rounded offense.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. You worry about Bradshaw. You worry about his health the last 2 weeks, over 300 yards, three touchdowns out of him in the last 2 weeks. This guy having a resurgence, getting pushed by a couple of different guys, Wilson in the preseason, and just coming through in these last two games has been huge, and especially this last game against a tremendous rush defense. And, I mean, nobody runs the ball on the 49ers, and more specifically, nobody has a rushing touchdown against the 49ers.
No, not generally, but we've seen a couple of chinks in that armor this year. You know, Adrian Peterson put 86 yards against them. Bradshaw, .118. I mean, they're not quite as formidable against a run this year as they were last year. It's just not that automatic shutdown.
Yeah, the automatic. The top back's going to go for 60 yards on a good day, no question about that. So does that hit all of them? Do we need to call ourselves out on anything else? Roberts, I attest that to just a bad Cardinals offense. I wonder, one thing I wanted to bring up about that, I meant to bring it up when you were talking about Cobb during the headlines. Yeah, Skelton, Joe Montana, he ain't. I grant you that. But seems to have, he's got a strong arm and seems to have a better chance at the deep ball. So I think that bodes well for Fitzgerald. And in general, I think it bodes well for the rest of those receivers, too. A guy who can just chuck it downfield. And when he's going to have minimal success in general in terms of completion percentage and things like that, I actually like Skelton better, more for a Larry Fitzgerald than I do a Kevin Cobb.
Yeah, I think fantasy owners will probably benefit with Skelton in there, providing he, too, is healthy, which, you know, he's been out with an injury, and I'm not really sure exactly how, you know, extremely healthy he is, but let's face it, he's more healthy than Cobb.
Yeah, and finished the game on Sunday, so it looks like he'll be ready to go. But, can he take a hit? Can he move? It'll be interesting to see. Who's the third quarterback in Arizona? I don't even know.
I'm not sure either, to be honest, but that's an interesting question. But, Larry Fitzgerald is Larry Fitzgerald, and he's got 36 catches, 430 yards right now this year. You know,
and that included a 1 yard, 9 catch performance about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Right.
So otherwise, he's been Larry Fitzgerald.
He's going to get his catches. But I think fantasy-wise, I think he's actually going to be elevated a little bit with Skelton. He had Skelton the majority of the year last year. He had 92 catches, I believe, and pretty good year.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, Rick, well, let's get off this full disclosure. You got everything out about Sean Green you wanted to say. We'll never mention it on the show again.
Really, and
you're satisfying.
Even going to the factor fictions, pretty much spot on, really.
We're really good. You guys should be listening to us. And tell your friends. And see, that's the problem. I heard.
Now, I did say that Ridley would probably hit 60 yards rushing. No chance. He had 34.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just an abysmal record for him. Yeah, Woodhead was
good,
pretty effective.
It's a good Seattle defense.
Yeah, it is.
And we talked about that. You know, 60 seemed about average. So I wonder with Ridley, I actually had him. I was going to give him a stinky sock. I'll go ahead and check him off. Yeah. But I wonder, is he going to be a sort of an extreme highs and extreme lows guy? Because that's what we've seen out of him so far. You see nothing. And then he'll go for over 100 and get two touchdowns. I wonder if that's what you're going to get out of that guy, which means he's in that boat that I hate as a fantasy owner, where I have to start him, but there's equal chances he's going to go completely nuts and win me a game, or he's going to go 16 for 34 and potentially cost me a game. I'm feeling like that's what you're going to see out of this guy.
Yeah, it's very possible. Right now he's like sixth in the league in rushing. He's got 524 yards.
I'd say mainly over three games is the problem I have with that.
He is averaging 19.7 carries per game. So, I mean, it's a fairly, you know, good amount of work.
Yeah.
And I know what you're saying. Of course, that Seattle defense is
a
little
different. I don't want to take too much away from that. That's a solid defense in Seattle, too. What, explain that to me. Why is Seattle such a home field advantage? From what I think of Seattle, there are a bunch of hippies out there drinking their coffee and thinking they're all smarter than everybody. I hope we don't have any listeners in Seattle. I just insulted them. Maybe the football fans there are different.
And maybe he'll just agree with you that they are smarter
than us. Well, that's not a very high threshold. But but I'm just always curious about that. I'm certain you don't have the answer. But why is it so tough? Is it the trip? That might have something to do with it. The weather always stinks. I don't know what it is, but it is impossible to play in Seattle.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a trip. I mean, people fly to San Diego and beat the Chargers.
Well, you're in San Diego. Who doesn't want to be there? Do you want to go to Seattle?
I wouldn't care.
I wouldn't go there at gunpoint.
Why not?
Unless any of our listeners are from Seattle. In that case, it's lovely, and I can't wait to visit someday.
I have no problem with Seattle, whatever. I mean, it's kind of a cool place, but yeah, that's one place I haven't lived.
Yeah, that's one of the few, the gypsy that you are.
Yeah, but the answer to your question, I don't know. Maybe it's getting into people's heads of the sixth man,
well, very well, that kind of stuff.
I mean,
perception does become reality at some point.
Yeah, well, anyway, let's move on. I guess about the only other full disclosure, you said that Miles Austin would be a better start than Vincent Jackson this week.
Yeah, whoops.
That didn't work out.
No.
But other than that, we nailed him.
No, Austin bad. Vincent Jackson becoming more and more consistent week after week, which is nice to see. I think this guy is starting to become a legitimate number one fantasy wide receiver.
He's not getting a lot of catches. He only had the 4 catches this past week, but he had the 2 touchdowns. And fantasy-wise, that's what you're looking for. So, I'm all in on Vincent Jackson. I think he's been a real positive influence on this offense, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
You go back 3 or 4 years ago, who'd have dreamed you'd be saying that about Vincent Jackson?
That you don't hear about the off-the-field stuff. I mean, generally, just a complete meathead and seems to, at least by outward appearances, has pulled it back together. And the other, another nice thing to see is I think his presence making Mike Williams fully legitimate again, solid week after week. Not huge numbers, but I think as a bye week guy, as a wide receiver 3 or 4, that this guy's become legitimate, and I think a lot of that is attributable to Vincent Jackson and his success as well.
Well, yeah. Look at last year. A lot of people were all in on Freeman and Williams after the year they had, that 10-6 year. Well, the defense clamped down on Williams. They really had no other threat. Freeman, consequently, was a little shell-shocked, and they just had a horrible year. But you got the legitimate threat in Vincent Jackson now. You better cover him.
It's opening things up for Williams.
Yeah, exactly.
And plus, Williams showing that speed again. Showing the ability, too, which he did his rookie year. You didn't see so much last year, just to make stupid catches. Just throw it up to this kid in traffic. Somehow he will find a way to bring it down. He's a lot of fun to watch, and I think Vincent Jackson's going to – those two could become a pretty good tandem, and they're helping Freeman along the way as well.
That's true. And while we're on the subject of Tampa Bay – well, Garrett Blunt creeping in a little more work and a little more results again. And not saying that Doug Martin is going to be out of a job, but I got a feeling that he may be out of Shiana's doghouse and begin seeing some more action.
Yeah, you worry about it. I definitely worry about it as a Doug Martin owner. Now, a lot of this, I don't know how much of it was in mop-up duty. I know Tampa Bay was up pretty big for the majority of that game and when the carries came. But, yeah, this is 2 weeks in a row. We talked about the previous week, or if they were on bye, their last game, Blunt getting the goal line carry, which made me nervous. Martin had a bad game. What I did like to see, Martin still ends up with 70 yards, gets plenty of touches. But I agree with you, Blunt sort of nosing in there, taking more and more carries. And I do worry as a Martin owner, this might start becoming the dreaded RBBC that there are so many of, and you didn't think you would have when you drafted Doug Martin.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd be really worried in that aspect as the season goes on. It's probably good to have the running back get some rest, and have a break during the game. My biggest concern would be the goal line touches.
Yeah, if he's back in favor and showing he can be successful, if I'm just from the eye test, if I'm standing on the sideline, if I'm Greg Schiano and I need to get 1 yard on a third and goal, and I'm looking at Blunt and I'm looking at Martin, I don't think it's a very hard decision, and that's painful for Doug Martin owners.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he had 7 carries, 59 yards and a touchdown, and I mean, that's that equates to over 8 yards a carry. That's pretty productive.
Yeah, yeah, no question about it. So let's move past that, Rick. That shouldn't have been so hard to say. Wow. And although you had, we both had good weeks with our start and sit, in our full disclosure, and you had a great week with the running back whose name I won't mention any longer on this show, yet somehow, being that you're so old and cratchety, you still find a few things that made you mad this week, and so we're going to give you your chance to rant.
Well, I appreciate that, Rick. I mean, you know, I know you've done this self-serving, because if I can do this on the air, then you don't have to listen to it.
That's true. Any time you can gripe to somebody other than me is a win for me.
But I tell you, there are a couple of things that make me mad, and the first thing that makes me mad is Phillip Rivers. He had 4 picks.
Yeah.
Hey, are you kidding me? He's 25 of 41, 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. It's all in the second half.
Where you had a 24-0 lead. Oh, I'm not supposed to interrupt these. I'm sorry.
I appreciate that.
I'll be back here.
That's all right. But, I mean, you know, this total meltdown is becoming basically commonplace instead of anomaly with him. And, you know, he's coining, you know, just using this Jekyll and Hyde cliche, he makes Jay Cutler look more even-keeled than on Tom Brady. It's just ridiculous. I don't know whose fault this is, quite frankly, but Mr. Turner, who I brought up last Friday.
You did.
You know, he needs to be questioned, I think, as to why his team, you know, like you said, leading 24-0, can mail it in so many times, and fantasy owners are suffering as well.
And
that makes me mad.
And that's what it's really about at the end of the day, is fantasy owners. And I agree, this is a disturbing trend with Phillip Rivers. He'll go on stretches, 350 yards, 3-4 touchdowns. And then just go into complete meltdown. And the interceptions, they weren't a lot of tip balls. I know the last one returned for a touchdown was just a terrible pick. I don't even know how you make that throw. This guy, he's sort of a better Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think. He's going to get you some numbers, but he's going to turn the ball over a lot, and you're going to have to learn to live with it. But this guy, I'll tell you what, he's slipping out of that. And I made a lot of arguments for him in the preseason. Just based on numbers alone when you're talking fantasy, and I think you can get away with that. But he's slipping out of that number one quarterback category for me. I mean, some guys that were considered high-end number twos, I would play Ben Roethlisberger all day over this guy.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, look at the stats, right? He's got 10 touchdowns and 9 picks.
Yeah,
and that's just 18, doesn't get it done.
That's 18 lost fantasy points in most scoring formats. You know, I think if a guy had 3 or 4, 4 or 5, even at this point of the season, you could live with it with the rest of the numbers he puts up. But 8 picks already, we're not that far into the season. We'll be lucky if he doesn't hit 20 interceptions this year.
I'm looking forward, to be honest with you. But tell you another thing that makes me mad, the Pittsburgh defense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know they're ranked number 5. However, I've been doing a little digging. They're giving up first downs on third down an astounding 49.2% of the time.
That's pathetic.
It is. You know, in contrast, Miami is giving first downs on third down 25% of the time. And the Steelers have given up first downs both times attempted against them on fourth down. And that makes me mad.
That makes me mad, too, as a Steeler fan. This isn't your daddy's steel curtain. I don't know what's going on there. They've been banged up. I'll tell you what, they need to come up with a backup plan. The trend you're noticing over the last 3 or 4 years as this decline is gone, they talk a lot about they're getting older, they're getting slower, this, that, whatever. The true difference maker every time is when Troy Polamalu's out, you can run the ball on them, and then conversely, when you can run the ball, then you have more success passing the ball. Detroit, I don't know if the entire defense is completely based around them. You know, LeBeau, I think, is smarter than that. But you got to have, and you're not going to find another Troy Polamalu. This guy can't stay healthy. It's so frustrating as a Steeler fan. But I think the fantasy takeaway from this is, and we've talked about this before in the old days when it was your running back, even if you had a questionable start at wide receiver, the tiebreaker was they're playing the Steelers, don't play him. It's not only is that going away, it's the exact opposite now. I'm starting, especially a wide receiver, a quarterback, I am starting them against the Steelers all the time now.
Yeah, and I have no qualms about starting Ben Jarvis Green Ellis this week against that Steeler defense at
all.
Give
me one reason he won't get 85 yards and a touchdown. I can't come up with
any. And we go back to the
imagine
old...
what A.J. Green's going to do to Ike Taylor this week.
Oh, my Lord.
We can't use him in starting sick because everybody's starting A.J. Green no matter what, but this guy may have 482 yards and seven touchdowns this week.
It is. It's horrible.
Taylor's actually going to pull the jersey off of A.J. Green because he likes to hold so much. Green will not have a jersey left at the end of the third quarter. There's my bold prediction for week 7.
And we go back to Tomlin's saying next man up, but let's look at, they got rid of Joey Porter a few years ago. Harrison, developed, comes right in, and so forth. Timmons, Woodley, and them, they worked their way in. But I'll tell you what, you got guys like Worlds, Sylvester. They've been there 3-4 years. They're not stepping up.
And Worlds, I like Worlds.
I like
him,
but here's my point. Harrison was out, the first how many games of the year, like 4 games, I think, okay?
Yeah.
There was a time somebody to step in and make a statement that, hey, I'm here to play. Nobody did.
Timmons, he was about the only one, but he's coming from
Timmons
the inside.
Plays anyway.
It's not the same position, but he seems to be the one stepping up. But try to not make this about Steeler Homer kind of lamenting, but this team isn't very good, and they're looking like an 8-8 team. And like I said, fantasy takeaway is the days are gone where you're trying not to start people against the Steelers. It's just the exact opposite. Except your defense, because they're becoming a Green Bay Packers type of offense. They can get down the field on you pretty much at will.
Yeah, that's true. Things change. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you don't want to put your running backs against Seattle too often. Chicago's another wicked defense out there. So, things just change and evolve. That's why you listen to us, and we'll tell you what's going on.
That's right. And as you heard in full disclosure, most of the time we'll be right. And if you want this great advice, make sure you're checking us out. This is The Asylum at asylumfantasyfootball.com and at 88.1 FM WSRU, the voice of the Rock.
And we are Fleeger and Briggs, and we thank you for listening. And you know what else makes me mad while we're on the subject?
All right.
Making me mad? Matt Schaub.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, fantasy owners really should have been looking for 350 yards from him in that shootout with Green Bay.
It was only a shootout on one end, unfortunately.
That's the whole thing. I mean, and that's what gets me. He had 232 yards, no touchdowns, 2 picks. Now, why is that? Is it because Andre Johnson doesn't have the tools to just get up and get it anymore?
I'm starting to wonder about Johnson because he looked healthy.
Exactly.
And he's just not Andre Johnson.
Was Schaub made to look a lot better because of Andre Johnson?
Possibly.
I mean, this is what's really coming. Has he lost arm strength from that injury he had?
You wonder.
I don't know. And of course, they rely on that running game, no doubt. But you shut the run down in a little bit, and it gets tough.
Yeah, not fantasy reliable. Matt Schaub on a good team. Something I believe we talked about it on Friday. If we had a question, I think it came out of the chat room. What we thought would happen in that Green Bay Texans game, and I think we both agreed. I know I said I expected Green Bay to go in and take that game and take it rather handily.
Yes, you did.
Just because they're Green Bay, they're sitting 2-3. They weren't going to go 2-4, and obviously Houston wasn't going to go 16-0. That's the kind of game you're going to lose. So, football wise, I don't take much from it. I'd like to see that game again. I think it could end up differently at a different part of the season. Although you're not going to see it again until a potential Super Bowl matchup, which I'm not ready to predict just yet. But with Schaub, look, outside of that running game, what do you do with Andre Johnson? He's your number one receiver. Just terrible numbers week after. You have to play him. He's Andre Johnson. But what do you do? I guess you try to trade him, but his value sit down. How low would you go for Andre Johnson to get rid of him?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I don't know what to tell you on that one. And, just looking at stats, what, 25 catches, 358 yards. That's okay for a wide receiver, too.
Fine.
You know, but that's not
Andre Johnson.
Right.
You know, and this is a guy that was dropping into the fifth rounds, and everybody thought they were getting a steal, and it just didn't happen. You're getting eighth-round talent out of a fifth-round pick, which isn't the end of the world. But, again, he's Andre Johnson. I think the value just keeps dropping and dropping. And the shame of it is this year so far, him and McFadden I put in the same category. We talk about they're both going to be at the top of their positions if they stay healthy. Well, they both stayed healthy and both so dramatically underperformed. You know, a decent week out of McFadden. But 70 and a touchdown isn't what I expected when I drafted Darren McFadden ninth overall. When you drafted Andre Johnson in the fourth or fifth round, you know, I just got a steal here. This is Andre Johnson. If he stays healthy, I'm going to get number one production out of him, and you're not. You're basically getting number three production out of a number one wide receiver.
Exactly. I mean, you got Darren McFadden, like you said, he's a ninth overall pick. He's averaging 54.2 yards a game, 3.2 yards a carry.
Pathetic. Just sad. I don't know what it is. I don't know if the Oakland offense is just that bad. They were able to move the ball pretty well against Atlanta, and again, only 70 yards.
Yeah. You know, Carson Palmer put up 353 yards. Not like they weren't airing it out. However, like you said, you would think at that time you could get the running game going a little bit, you know, hence that one game, Tennessee, where, Johnson went for $141, something like that. I mean, McFadden just never got anything going.
Just never really got it going. 3-4 yards a carry. About looks like what you're going to get out of him, and it's disappointing. So let's move on, Rick. Are you mad about anything else? Or you want to jump in and hand out some game balls and some stinky socks? We know you're happy. Get over it. I can't wait till this week is over.
I don't know why. I mean, it's just don't wish your life away, young man.
Oh, I'm wishing it away. I wish the ceiling would come down on me right now, just end it all, take away the pain.
You'll never do that. This is just a wonderful week.
Oh, absolutely. So let's jump in, Rick. I'm going to start this show with my game ball. I want to get this one in because I'm sure you have it written down, and I want to talk about it, and I'm excited about it. My first game ball going to go to Robert Griffin III this week. 182 passing and a touchdown, 13 carries for $138 and two touchdowns. Massive week in terms of fantasy production coming out of the quarterback position. I can't imagine a scenario where if you started Robert Griffin III, you lost this week. This kid has been as advertised and more. It's so impressive.
He is. It is amazing. He is, he's like about 15th in the league in rushing as well.
Yeah,
I mean, it's crazy. That? Yeah, I mean, he's got it all. And you know what? He projects himself as a quarterback. I know that sounds kind of weird, but, I mean, the guy is sharp, and he knows what's going on. My biggest concern with him is, especially fantasy-wise, and I'm sure, you know, football-wise too, he's got to get out of bounds a little quicker.
And he'll learn. They learn that as they get older. He's a rookie. You get away with that in college. You're going to beat that guy down the sideline in college. In the NFL, they're going to get the angle on you, and they're going to lay you out when you got nowhere else to go. I think he'll learn that if he can survive his first couple of years. But we talked comparing him all offseason with Cam Newton. Cam Newton wishes he was Robert Griffin III, even last year.
Yeah, and you know, Cam's just having a real bad year this year. Carolina was a bad team. And I think maybe that was one thing working towards Griffin's advantage. I touched on that before the season started. I think he was getting on a little better team to start with.
Look,
they had
not a Super Bowl contender, but a legitimate NFL team.
Right.
Carolina just stinks.
Yeah, they do. And I think Cam Newton kind of took people by surprise some last year with what he could do. They know what he can do now.
Yeah.
And they still don't run D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart, so go figure.
We won't start that again. I'll be playing Taylor Swift and ruin everybody's night, and we'll lose what few listeners we have left of this show.
That's true. But he's a very legitimate game ball, and it just goes without saying. My game ball goes to New York Jets.
Come on. Again?
You got to go to Sean Green.
You already talked about it. You said you were done.
All right.
The test of the emergency broadcast system.
I'll emergency broadcast you. Okay, I'll give you a game ball. Since we've already talked about Sean Green, who had 161.
Stop saying his name. I'm done with it. You were right.
I'll tell you what. You know who I'm going to give a game ball
who
to.
Who are you giving a game ball to?
Roddy White.
Sean, all right. Why?
Huh?
Oh, yeah, he had a good one. I'm just so mad at you, I want to disagree with anything.
Yeah, look, I can't even give out a game ball without you arguing at me.
I'm ready to throw my microphone at you at this point. This is how little I root for you. I am so disgusted with your success for 1 week, I can't even function.
Don't hate, appreciate.
Who says that? Appreciate, oh, God, I'm going to shut up. You go ahead. I'll be back here.
No, I want you to weigh in on this, but I mean... You know, I just don't know, you know, why you're just so adamant against me right now. I just don't understand
because
it.
Sean Green, that is the definition of the blind squirrel and his acorn this week.
I'm not, you know, we're talking about Roddy
All
White,
right,
I
talk
thought.
About Roddy White.
See, you're the one that keeps wanting to bring this
up. Furiously shuffle papers around. Do I need to look up Roddy White stats for you?
Well, no, actually, I wanted to find his for the year. Yeah, I mean, the guy just keeps doing it year in and year out. And right now he's averaging almost 100 yards a game, 37 catches, 553 yards. And, you know, Julio Jones had that hand injury, and Roddy White's taking that top coverage, and he just keeps getting it done.
And I'll tell you what, in talking Julio Jones, I think that's really affecting him. This guy's huge week one, steady decline ever since. A couple not bad weeks, but not Julio Jones weeks. The argument amongst the young receivers in the offseason was him and A.J. Green. It's not even close, and I almost have to attribute it to that hand injury maybe being more serious than we think it is.
Yeah, I'm thinking that the same thing. And, you know, but the thing is, you know, White is still getting that number one coverage, and he's still just producing, and it's very impressive. You know, look, Atlanta, look at Michael Turner last week, only 34 yards on the ground, couldn't really get anything going.
Yeah, so I want to ask you, Rick, speaking of Roddy White, you know I own him in a lot of leagues, actually. You know how we both are, how high we are on him. And I reach for him a lot early in the second round instead of waiting until the end of the second round where he normally went. I have one league where I've been struggling a little bit at the running back position. I had Matthews, so I missed out on him for a few games, and his slow pace getting going, it's starting to get better. Just McGahee's my two, which has been fine, but he's sort of on the decline. So got a trade offer straight up, Maurice Jones-Drew for Roddy White. And I pulled the trigger on it, and obviously Jones-Drew was out, so I haven't really felt the effects yet. What do you think of that? I'm comfortable with it, but at the same time...
Who are your other receivers?
I can't. I'm in so many leagues. I know I'm playing Reggie Wayne every week. One of the Cowboys, I want to say it's Austin. I thinned myself. I have another legitimate receiver. I'm blanking on who it is right now. And I think it was starting McGahee. I had Green Ellis in the flex. I got Matthews back. I think it made my team better, but I'm not 100% sold on it.
So your running backs now are Green Ellis, Sean Matthews, MJD.
Basically, I'm starting MJD and Matthews.
Right.
And I'm starting Reggie Wayne, and I'm blanking on who my other receiver is. I'll try to look it up here real quick while you're bashing me for this move.
I'm not going to bash you, but I think no matter – you can't remember who your other receiver is, so I'm guessing it's a pretty serious downgrade from Roddy White.
Oh, yeah, certainly a downgrade from Roddy White, but my running back core got so much better.
Yeah, I mean, MJD, let's face it, he's going to improve anybody's running core, that's for sure. It's PPR, right?
Yeah, full-point PPR. Reggie Wayne, Miles Austin, I knew it was one of those Cowboys.
Okay, yeah.
Miles Austin, who do I have on the bench now that I made that move?
I mean, you'll be...
Really nobody.
You'll be...
I thinned myself out seriously at receiver.
You know, you're walking a razor's edge right now because, you know, Austin could go down any time.
Although, I'll tell you what, I got James Jones stashed away. I'm really starting to fall for
this
guy.
He ought to be starting right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Probably over Miles Austin. I was able to pick him up off of waivers. I don't.
Well, that makes a big difference. You got James Jones, I think you're okay. Because I'll tell you what, I don't know if Jennings really is going to make any significant impact this year. That groin injury, and he just can't seem to shake it. And Jones is doing nothing but catching touchdowns. I think
yeah.
he's second in the league in touchdowns.
Yeah, and I like that. And, you know, he sort of, we were looking, we were trying to give Ogletree after week one the Laurent Robinson Award this year. I think James Jones might be that award this year. He's just going to keep doing it. Obviously, with the quarterbacks, with Aaron Rodgers, with a good offense, I just blanked on his name.
Jordy Nelson.
No, the other one that's hurt. Oh, my God.
Oh, Jennings.
Jennings,
yeah.
Jeez, oh, man, Greg Jennings. This is great fantasy talk. You're welcome, everybody.
Yeah.
But
PA Jet fan.
PA, oh, God. And notice Sean Green was a Jet. It just all ties together to me. I hate this show now, and I don't want to do it anymore. So anybody wants to audition to be Mr. Briggs' partner, shoot us an email at asylumfootball@gmail.com.
You won't get hired because I don't hate you like I do him.
That's
so.
True. Hate does drive the show. Yes. There's no question about it. So I don't know where we're at.
Well, I do. We got another question we forgot to get to.
Okay.
So
this must be good because we said we weren't going to do questions tonight. So this must be a good one.
Well, it really wasn't worded as such, but I'm suspicious that it's a trade.
All right, frame it that way.
And he didn't want to sound like it is, but if it is a trade, he probably wants to get it done. Now, is it a fair trade? Ryan Matthews and Eric Decker for Vincent Jackson, Steven Jackson, and Alex Green.
Fair, yes. That question always throws me. It's fair. There's nothing inherently unfair about it.
Yeah, I know. But
if I'm on the Decker Matthews side, I don't think I'd make it unless I am so thin at running back that I need to get two backs in for one, but you're taking a big step down. Green got a lot of carries, but did not a lot of production out of him. Steven Jackson, a guy I was pretty high on in the offseason with Fisher coming into town. I'm just done with him. I think Matthews is heading in the right direction. You know, I'd love to get Vincent Jackson, but Eric Decker's become the clear number one out of between him and Thomas in Denver. I don't think I make that deal. I'd rather have Decker and Matthews.
Well, I'm not so sure Decker's a clear number one. You're really looking at Harrison and Wayne kind of like you did in Indianapolis with these two in Denver. True, Matthews is he's going to be a step down if you get rid of Matthews for Jackson and Green. However, Matthews is an injury risk. There's no doubt about it. Jackson right now is not performing all that well. Steven, I'm talking about. Vincent doesn't catch a lot of passes, but I tell you what, he's been very productive touchdown-wise. I'm almost going to give Vincent Jackson a Decker or wash. I almost have to agree with you. Unless you're really thin, I just don't see Green and Jackson making it up for Matthews.
No, I really don't. And you talk about the Matthews injury risk, and I'll grant you that, but you're an injury risk. It's a wonder you didn't pull something sitting in that chair. You haven't fallen off the chair yet. I can't plan too much for that. I really can't. So, wow, I didn't think that was that funny, but he's losing it over there. I hope you don't fall off the chair while you're laughing.
I believe I'm quite serious.
All right, quite serious. So let's get back, Rick, to we've gotten through one game ball. So I'm going to give out a stinky sock here. You took Ridley for me. He was first on my list. I'm going to go for sort of the easy way out, the Baltimore Ravens run defense, for a lot of the reasons we were talking about the Steelers. And a lot of this happened before all the injuries, and the injuries are a huge blow to Baltimore. But DeMarco Murray, 92 yards in the first half. Then Felix Jones goes 18 for 92 and a touchdown. They ran the ball, and they ran it easily. And I'll tell you what, Tony Romo would have never had to throw that ball, and that game could have been that close. That's something in 10 years you haven't seen, and that stuns me. So now with all the injuries going forward, what's that defense going to look like? So a big old nasty smelly sock goes to the Baltimore Ravens defense.
Okay. You know, and a little, you know, Pee-wee League-style clock management by Jason Garrett.
Oh, what was that?
I have no idea. They should have won that game.
You could have got two more plays off in the time they were messing around. They had a timeout. You know, get up to the line of scrimmage, spike it, make a throw, get him even 5 yards closer, he makes that kick.
Just totally ridiculous. And I'll tell you what, Garrett should be called to task on that. He really should.
Yeah, maybe,
I mean, that's just terrible.
Bonus sock to Garrett. I agree with you there.
Okay, I'm going to give out a stinky sock to, you know, and the thing is, I was going to give it to Phillip Rivers, but I already ranted about him. So I'm going to give it to Jay Feely.
Yeah.
I mean,
how?
38-yard field goal, and he dinks it off the thing.
Was it a 61 or 62?
Yeah, one. I believe it was one.
How?
I don't know. And that's just, I mean, that's what he gets paid to do.
Yeah.
Go in and win games, you know, not knock down the easy field goals.
Peyton Manning once said, he's an idiot kicker. Just kick the ball.
Yeah. And, you know, it costs the Cardinals a division lead. And it could be, they could be looking back on that kick, you know, at the end of the year, one win away from making the playoffs. I mean, it's that close.
Yeah, that division's going to be that close, no question about it. So, you know, to make a 61-yarder, to get him, even get him to that position, it's hard to give him a lot of blame because that's incredible. But, yeah, to doink a 34 yards, you said?
34, 38,
yeah, to dunk that, just completely unacceptable. So let's get it more positive. We got about 10 minutes, Rick. Another game ball I got to give. I'm going to stay with the quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers, we've talked a lot about his struggles to this point in the year. 338, 6 touchdowns, and I believe this is something – you know about all too well as somebody who had a nice fantasy week but played against a team with Aaron Rodgers and paid the ultimate price.
Yeah, I was sitting back comfortably enjoying myself with about a 68-point lead in my that one fantasy league I was telling you about. And the guys playing only had two players left. They just happened to be Aaron Rodgers and James Jones.
So you got blown out.
I got beat.
With 6 touchdowns, that's just amazing. And while I expected Green Bay to go in there and win, I didn't see that coming.
No, not like that. I mean, you could almost see, you know, 38, 27, something on that line. But it was just terrible. I mean, Houston wasn't even in the game.
No, never from the beginning.
So, yeah, I mean, a well-deserved game. But I'll tell you what, in the same position, I'm going to stick with quarterback. I'm going to go with Peyton Manning.
Yeah, big.
They're down 24-0, and, you know, 5 touchdowns, just unbelievable performance, 309 yards, 3 touchdowns. He did have one bad pick, but, you know, you can almost see a conversation happening in John Fox's office, you know.
Yeah.
Your coach, yes, Peyton, why don't you watch the defense and let me do what I want on offense from now on? I mean,
just step back, let me do what I do. Yeah, I agree, and that conversation's probably happened. You do your little defense thing.
Yeah.
I got this.
Yeah, yeah, we'll
that's
take
the
care
message.
Of that.
I got this.
Right.
All right, let's go another stinky sock. One, he was a little banged up but managed to finish the game. Shady McCoy, 14 carries for 22 yards. Did manage to catch a touchdown pass, however. Rushing-wise, and I don't know if it's a McCoy issue, I don't think it is, or if it's an Eagles issue, not a lot of success running the ball. And here you go again, 14 for 22. If he's not catching these touchdown passes the last 2 weeks, he's been ostensibly useless to you as a guy who was the overall number 3 pick in most fantasy drafts.
Yeah, and, you know, depending what publication or, you know, guru you listen to, he was anywhere between 1 and 3.
Yeah.
So, yeah, certainly not getting that kind of production from him yet. But, you know, at least he is getting some receptions and touchdowns that way. But.
And most concerning, I'm glad he's getting these touchdown receptions because I believe he was the subject of the wager we made with our boy Jason Consoli at Fantasy Six Man. I need McCoy to stay ahead of Darren Sproles or we're going to be wearing Mark Sanchez jerseys in January.
So that is the official bet. It's McCoy and
versus Sproles.
All right, we're going to have to start monitoring
this
a little closer now.
I haven't been paying attention early in the year. There's anomalies. I think trends are starting to develop, and I don't actually know who's ahead of who. I believe the bet was total fantasy points. We're going to have to keep a tracker on that and talk about it a little more often.
I tell you what's more concerning, the big concern with me is that whole Philadelphia offense.
Yeah.
It is just terrible.
Yeah, Vic turning the ball over like it's his job. It's terrible. Can't hold on to it, fumbling, throws 2 picks again. He got over 300, threw for 2 touchdowns, but 2 more picks, putting the ball on the ground. Like I said, like it's his job. It's rough to watch.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, and on the other side of the ball, they get a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, and they lose that. Yeah, consequently, Juan Castillo lost his job after that performance. That whole team is just, you know, I don't know, scrambling for an identity or whatever.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
I think it's a Mike Vick-led team. I think that's what you're going to get out of them.
Okay, I'm going to go with, stinky socks here?
Yeah, give us a sock.
I'm going Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, again.
I'm sorry. It's just 19 to 32, 153, no touchdowns. You know, and there's another stat. You know, Ryan Matthews has been over 208 yards.
You mean Ryan Fitzpatrick?
What'd I say?
Matthews.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Ryan Fitzpatrick has been over 208 yards passing one time this year.
Really?
Yes.
That's it? I thought it was different. I think we talked about in that last show. I have in my head he's throwing for 300 every week.
No, he threw for 353 one week.
And threw four picks that week, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but that's neither here nor there.
No, certainly
but
not.
He is just not getting it done. They're really not running the ball superbly. You know, they come out with a win. They were lucky to get it. Let's be blunt about it.
Yeah,
you know,
as I knock my microphone
off
the stand, very
destroying things.
I do that.
But, you know, until Ryan Fitzpatrick starts, I don't know, taking command of this team, you know, I'm just going to give him the stinky sock.
Yeah, can't blame you for that. So 5 minutes left, Rick. Let's get a few more of these in. We can. So we are going to be back to game balls. I want to give a game ball to Dez Bryant. It's tough, too, after dropping that easy two-point conversion. What could have tied that game up? But to that point was the entire offense, 13 grabs, 95 yards, and the two touchdowns. Starting to show flashes. Man, this guy could be Calvin Johnson. He really could. I feel that way with his size and his speed and his hands. If he can stay healthy and get out of his own way, and you see flashes like this from him from time to time, and I just want to acknowledge it this time.
Yeah, I know. You do like Dez Bryant. You really, you know, you were pretty high on him in the preseason, and I think you had more hopes for him,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I do. Having watched him in college.
He drives me nuts.
Yeah.
You know, to Romo's credit, I mean, that was a perfectly placed two-point conversion pass. And
everybody did everything right. He just didn't catch the ball.
Exactly. So, but, yeah, I mean, he had a heck of a game, so you can't take that away from him. Okay, I'm going to throw a game ball out, and just because we haven't talked, you know, seen anything good from him so long, 19 carries, 91 yards against the Steelers. I'd give it to Chris Johnson.
Yeah, no question about it. It's could have been more. He missed some open holes, but a guy going to drive you nuts. I got him in so many leagues. I can't bench him, Rick, because there's going to be weeks he's going to go off, and I'm going to have to put up with those 24-yard weeks.
Yeah, and how many more of those are in the bag? That's the question. Will they even get it going enough where he's averaging 70, 75? I don't know.
Maybe if Walker comes back, the offense gets a little better. I don't know. It's tough to say. So 3 minutes left, Rick. Let's get in a round of socks one more time. I just want to throw a stinky sock out there for Vic Ballard, everybody's hot waiver wire pickup. We must have had 7,000 questions as should I start him over this guy, that guy, everybody up to him, including Ray Rice. They wanted to start him over. 8 carries, 25 yards. I don't know what it's going to look like down the road, but this guy certainly didn't live up to what his lofty expectations this week.
No, I've never been a real proponent of that. In fact, I was tweeting this week about it. I actually got into a conversation with one of the guys on Twitter about that. You know, he's behind Donald Brown for a reason. And it's not like everybody's racing out to start Donald Brown.
Yeah, if you couldn't beat out Donald Brown in the preseason, I have to question your credentials a little bit.
So, you know, to get all excited about a backup is just a little bit, I don't know, premature to say the least. And, you know, you'd like to see at least see 1 week, you know, if not more, before you race right out and drop somebody off of your team. You know, it's kind of like the Mikel LeSure thing. He had that 100-yard game. Oh, boy, LeSure.
Here we go.
You know, and then
he
comes back with about 20 yards or something like that. But, no, I agree. And, you know, in that light, I guess I'll give a stinky sock to, you know, I'll give it to Luck.
Yeah, and, another bad week.
The whole team was terrible, and I'm not going to really blame him. It was just a bad performance. And, you know, maybe chalk it up to being a rookie, too. So
yeah, chalk it up. Maybe a lot with that Indianapolis team, too. You come off that huge high with everything going on with Coach Pagano.
Good point.
That huge high, that big win. I think there's always the letdown generally immediately after it. I don't think you carry that emotion over a few weeks' time. So I think this week will be the test. You have the incredible high. This is a pretty big low. This week's going to be the test and to see what that team's going to be the rest of the way out.
I agree. So there you have it.
Well, let's wrap it up about there, Rick. Only a minute left. Just want to take an opportunity again to thank everyone going to AsylumFantasyFootball.com, finding us on iTunes, finding us on Blog Talk, everyone at 88.1 FM WSRU. Numbers, again, just blowing us away week after week. If you put it on a chart, it's a steep slope. It's unbelievable the way things are going, and we couldn't be happier or more surprised for that matter.
Yeah, we thank each and every one of you out there. We appreciate it, and you know, for listening to The Asylum. We're Fleeger and Briggs, and we enjoy bringing it to you, and we're just thrilled that someone's listening.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So the Tuesday Night Blitz continues. Up next is Kellogg's Comments. Join Greg as he'll break down all of Week 6 for you. And the Blitz will roll right through about 11 o'clock tonight, I believe.
Yeah, so you're set.
We will be back Friday night in our usual spot at 8 o'clock, so check it out. You can listen live at AsylumFantasyFootball.com. Thanks again to WSRU 88.1 FM, the voice of the rock. We'll talk to you Friday.
Take care.